of the city, on the edge of the chasm, near the inner dome boundary which surrounded the great belching hole in Yellowstone's crust. We had travelled some way around the chasm, and from the landing deck I could see the tiny jewelled sliver of the stalk projecting out for 1 horizontal kilometre, far below us and around the great curve of the chasm's edge. I looked down into the chasm, but I couldn't see any sign of the luminous gliders or any other mist jumpers taking the great fall. "Do you live here alone?" I asked when she had led me into her rooms, striking what I hoped was the right note of polite curiosity.
"Now I do, yes."
The answer was quick, almost glib, but she continued speaking. "I used to share this place with my sister, Mavra."
"And Mavra left?"
"Mavra got killed." She left that remark hanging there long enough to have its effect. She got too close to the wrong people. "I'm sorry," I said, fishing for something to say. "Were these people hunters like Sibylline?"
"Not exactly, no. She was curious about something she shouldn't have been, and she asked the wrong kinds of questions of the wrong people. But it wasn't directly to do with the hunt."
"What then?"
"Why are you so interested in knowing?"
"I'm not exactly an angel, Zebra, but I don't like the idea of someone dying just because they were curious."
"Then you'd better be careful you don't ask the wrong kinds of question yourself."
"About what exactly?" She sighed, obviously wishing our conversation had never taken this tack.
"There's a substance."
"Dream fuel."
"You've encountered it, then?"
"I've seen it being used, but that's about the extent of my knowledge. Sibylline used it in my presence, but I didn't notice any change in her behavior before or afterwards. What is it, exactly?"
"It's complicated, Tanner. Mavra had only pieced together a few parts of the story before they got her."
"It's a drug of some sort, obviously."
"It's a lot more than a drug. Look, can we talk about something else? It hasn't been easy for me to deal with her being gone, and this is just opening up old wounds."
I nodded, willing to let it lie for now. "You were close, weren't you?"
"Yes," she said, as if I'd picked up on some profound secret in their relationship. "And Mavra loved it here. She said it had the best view anywhere in the city, apart from the stork. But when she was around, we could never have afforded to eat in that place."
"You haven't done too badly, if you like heights."
"You don't, Tanner?"
"I guess it takes some getting used to." Her apartment, ensconced in one of the major branches, was a complex of intestinally twisted rooms and corridors, more like an animal set than anything a human would choose for use. The rooms were in one of the narrowest branches, suspended 2 kilometers above the mulch, with lower levels of the canopy hanging below, linked to ours by vertical threads, strands, and hollowed-out trunks. She led me into what might have been her living room. It was like entering an internal organ in some huge walk-through model of the human anatomy. The walls, floor, and ceiling were all softly rounded into each other. Level surfaces had been created by cutting into the fabric of the building, but they had to be stepped on different levels, connected by ramps and stairs. The surfaces of the walls and ceiling were rigid, but uneasily organic in nature. Vein door patterned with irregular platelets. In one wall was what looked like a piece of expensive in situ sculpture, a tableau of 3 roughly hewn people who had been depicted forcing their way out of the wall, clawing to escape from it like swimmers trying to outswim the wall of a tsunami wave. Most of their bodies were hidden. All you could see was half a face or the end of a limb, but the effect was forceful enough.
"You have pretty unique taste in art, Zebra," I said. "I think that would give me nightmares."
"It's not art."